แล้วจังค่อยฟังโอ้ยละนาซัมบอดี้เลดี้แอนด์เจนเทิลแมนเดอะบอยแอนด์เดอะเกิร์ลไอโซซิงเซิงบองไฟ
Good evening, 19th of February 2011. According to the Gregorian calendar, you're listening to Radio National nationally around Australia from Gunnedah to Gibraltar, which of course is
actually
a property in Northern Territory. Thank you, Lucas. From Perth to Parramatta and from Trangie to Tassie. We are the Lonely Hearts Club. We are a shoulder to cry on, an ear to whisper sweet nothings into, and of course, we are your friends. We are four lonely men with experience in the highs and lows of love and life. Mm. Tonight we'll be covering similar themes to last week, love, loss, laments and ladies. And I'm joined, of course, by some of the best men in the business, esteemed second unit director, Duncan Jardine.
Good evening. And can I just say, Richard, thanks to everyone who sent in a card or an email or a demand for money after last week's show. I must say, once you've got a radio show, it is easier for people to pin you down and send you an invoice for, say, a Steadicam that you may or may not have backed over in your van on the set of Stingers a few years ago. So thanks to everyone who got in contact.
Wow. Oh, it's nice to catch up with old friends.
Yeah.
We've got an entrepreneur and self-made millionaire, Lucas Dawson.
Ring-a-ding-ding.
Wow.
You've had some really good feedback on that.
Persistent. Well, we've had feedback. You're going to continue on with that?
Well, you check the website.
What is that?
Catchphrase. Ring-a-ding-ding.
Mm. Okay.
Check the website. There's some very positive stuff.
Yes, the social media has responded.
It's a buzz.
Our Twitter page, the Lone Heart Club, at symbol, has let you know their real feelings on that catchphrase. The other voice you can hear in the background is man who's popular on the speaking circuit, particularly on the east coast of Australia, and I understand he's venturing over west for a pre-season football launch. He's former Aussie Rules player and the people's champion from the Riverina. It's Terry Wood.
Hello, Richard, and hello, Lonely Hearts everywhere, all around Australia, and yes, four lonely men, but big hello to all the ladies listening out there tonight as well. Your chance to tune in and see what's on our mind. Yes, I'll be heading over to Western Australia. Big hello to everyone down there at the Fairhaven Surf Lifesaving Club, where I had a little bit of a chat to during the week.
Nippers?
The nippers down there. I had a quick chat to them. I thought it would be more powerful if I did it from the water and had them lined up on the shore.
Yeah, there go.
Well, misread a rip. But thanks to all the little nippers who came and rescued
that,
me.
That politically correct?
It did sound...
No, they're young lifesavers.
Oh, young lifesavers.
Incidentally, Duncan, Fairhaven Beach, was that not where Round the Twist was?
Yeah, you're right. It was Epsom Storm. Yeah, I did a few cutaways. Yeah. But what I do remember shooting at that beach was some scenes for Sweat.
Young Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger of Snowy Bowls and fantastic work.
I believe Melissa Thomas was
Melissa
in
Thomas.
That.
Yeah, Melissa Tickouts, Melissa Bell, all the Melissas were in that one.
Wow.
Yep.
Young Marty Henderson.
Duncan Jardine, of course, really came to prominence and was recognised by his peers that year with a number of awards.
I was, but sadly didn't make it to second series. I barely made it to the end of the first series, has to be said.
Wow.
Bad luck, mate.
Good memories for everyone.
Yes. Well, it's great to see you all again. Thanks for joining us. We're here for 8 weeks. I am, of course, Richard Silk, the anchor, some would say, to this ship, be it made of timber or of polystyrene. We'll see after 8 weeks. But we're going around Australia. Mm. For those who are tuned in to hear Doug Spencer for the World Planet, fear not, you can catch him available to stream in podcast, care of the abc.net.au/rn website.
I've bumped into Doug Spencer in the corridor. He is always streaming. No matter when you bump into him, he's on the stream.
Mm. Well, we look forward to catching up with Doug, and if you're listening, mate, good luck with the gout.
Stream on.
Coming up tonight, we'll be chatting with Sally Mathrick. She's coming back in, the naturopath to the stars. Of course, Robert Cabas.
Peter Luck and Duncan Armstrong, if you're wondering who those stars were, she made it very clear.
She did actually say that that was meant to be...
confidential.
Yeah, there's a certain confidentiality.
We'll find out what she's wearing and what she's talking about tonight. I'm hoping it's angina.
Mm.
Later on, we've got a very special guest coming into the studio. ABC family and friends might recognise from the television program Spicks and Specks.
Brian Nankervis.
Adam Hills.
Alan Brough.
Alan
Brough will be dropping in today.
Listen, I think I might have done a shot of his hand turning on a light switch for an MDA a few years back. Actually, I think we used Francis Greenslade's hand, but no one ever picked the difference.
Wow.
What's it like working with the star of Alan's calibre?
Too much music trivia for mine when you're trying to light.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have a chat to him about his first ever date that Alan went on.
What, did he just have it? Or
during the week?
Let's find out. Okay. I mean, it was Valentine's Day, and we'll be hearing about how you boys spent your Valentine's Day. But before we do, it's time to hear from the hard man of rock, Mr. Bruce Hornsby. Perhaps some high notes. Some drums. Thanks. Bass. Well, that was Bruce Hornsby with his comment on the laissez-faire system, the way it is.
Richard, I think you'll find that's Bruce Hornsby and the Range.
Wow. I believe you're right. Who were the Range?
His, I don't know. I always like to just picture a bloke standing next to a stove. Bruce Hornsby and the Range.
Has the Range done anything else?
Range, haven't been heard of.
I did actually have the fortune of seeing him perform at the Hollywood Bowl. He was supported by none other than Dave Brubeck. He's now a jazz.
Really?
Yes, Bruce Hornsby's very revered in the jazz world, and we do want to say a shout out to Bruce and his twin sons named Russell and Keith that Bruce had. They were named after Leon Russell and Keith Jarrett. The reason I say that is because we'll be discussing what's in a name later this evening as to how our names affect our future.
Yeah. I think we're certainly raising the bar for music trivia on the Doug Spencer Show tonight.
If you wanted to get in contact with everyone here at the Lonely Hearts, Richard, I hope you don't mind me doing this, www.abc.net.au/RN/The Lonely Hearts Club.
And, of course, Twitter and Facebook here at the ABC, which you can contact us at The Lone Heart Club. Gentlemen, 19th of February, it happens to be Dylan Lewis's birthday today. 14th of February, however, was Valentine's Day. And we signed off last week with a couple of tasty offers in the prospect. Duncan, we understand you caught up with your ex, Donna.
Yeah, that's right. We did get together, accompanied each of us by our lawyers for what I guess to a lot of people wouldn't sound like a romantic Valentine's Day, but I thought it was in its own way. We cleaned up the final real area of dispute in our divorce proceedings.
What's that?
Dividing up the DVD collection.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have any kids, but we do have an enormous number of DVDs.
What figure are we talking, Duncan?
Oh, it would run up to 21,000, I think. And there was a lot to do. I was happy with the end result, though.
How did you fare? I mean, yeah, where do you start?
Before you get into the nitty-gritty, was it just in terms of numbers, did you? Was it a clean down the middle?
In the end, she got the Region 4s and 2s. I got all the Region 1s and Region 5s.
What's the Region 5?
Region 5 is an odd one. It's the Philippines, the Ivory Coast, the Chatham Islands. Okay. And for some reason, Ballarat in Victoria.
Burgeoning film industry.
It's an anomaly, I think. As a result, I have a number of titles that will only play in Ballarat.
Wow.
If I want to watch The Matrix, it's a 75-minute trip on the train. You have to plan ahead.
Gee. Any box sets?
The TV box sets are still in contention. I got the first half of The Shield.
Always Greener.
Has that even been released? Has it really?
Yeah, box set.
We split Water Rats down the middle. I got the Friels years. She got the Bisley years. Here's something. I got all the laser discs. Remember Laserdisc? Wasn't that a great format? Yeah.
Tron, I believe, was released on Laserdisc, and Vacation, I think, was one of the first.
The Gatefold.
Yes.
But the very early ones, Laserdisc buffs out there would know you could only play 15 minutes a side, and then you'd have to get up and turn it over.
Wow.
Lawrence of Arabia, I think it's 28 separate changeovers. It's quite a workout.
Question. Do you know what the first ever DVD released was, the title, what movie title it was?
Probably, I would think Metropolis, Fritz Lang.
House with William Catt.
Jaws 4 with Michael Caine.
It was Twister.
Twister?
Twister, really. I think I did a bit of green screen for that.
Green screen.
Wow.
I tell you what I did. I think I did Philly Seymour Hoffman's hands on the computer. Tap, tap, tap. Yeah. And I should say, by the way, the VHSs came my way as well.
Wasn't even interested in them.
Just chucked them in. I tell you what we had, and I know Terry's probably got this himself, was the Dean Martin Celebrity Roasts.
Whoa.
Remember all of those 750 cassettes?
Yeah.
He used to advertise them on the Midnight to Dawn TV.
Yeah, I've got them all. Duncan, also, as a man of the craft, do you appreciate the editing on those roasts?
Oh, it's very rough. I have to say Donna did put her hand up for some of those, so we split them down the middle. I got L to W, John Lovitz through Slappy White, and she walked away with A to K, Alan Alder through Milan Kundera, I have to say, the Czech author of Unbearable Lightness of Being. I wasn't aware that he'd been roasted.
Yeah. Donna must have got the great Rich Little, the roast there.
Where
young Mr. T and Ronald Reagan were on the same panel, so that was amazing to watch. But from memory, all the people involved in the roast, not in the room at the same time.
It was a very odd circumstance, the way it was shot. Often the guests, Milton Berle, would just be up against a flat, a bit of backdrop that was shot at his house.
Yeah.
And then it'd be cut in and canned laughs would be added. It was very, 750 episodes. It got very unconvincing towards the end. That's a lot of confetti for Rip Taylor to go through.
How did Kundera take the roast after the Velvet Revolution?
Stoically, I think. Rickles was really getting stuck into him. You know, it was a lot of jokes about the art of laughter and forgetting to pay the bill. You know, that kind of thing. The unbearable lightness of pocket after dinner with Milan. You know, there's a lot of jokes about his tightness.
That sounds like a wonderful Valentine's Day, Duncan.
I'm very happy with the result.
Lucas,
yep.
I understand you visited the Riverina.
I did indeed. As keen listeners to the show will know, and you guys, of course, I have recently choreographed the Aubrey Wodonga Light Opera Company's production of Showboat.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, also known as Orlok. Now, incidentally, Orlok are the second most prolific semi-professional theatre company in the world. Behind anyone?
Ooh.
The Sugar House, San Francisco.
Is that right?
Started up by Eric Estrada.
It's a whole new world for me, Lucas. So,
keep listening because it's about to get big.
Showboat, just quickly for our listeners, what's the plot line on Showboat?
Basically, a whole bunch of people on a boat, and on the boat, lots of shows.
Wow. Aubrey have been championing for this to come through the town.
Wodonga were pushing to actually have it in Wodonga, so there's a big battle, you know, New South Wales, Victoria, Aubrey, Wodonga, the twin cities. Not so much the twins, not the twins that get along. On Sunday night, we had the opening night to rave reviews. Monday night, I was set up on a bit of a blind date with one of the ensemble's family members.
Right.
Because Valentine's Day is the second most romantic day of the year behind Shrove Tuesday. And I went to a bar, I won't say which bar it was in Albury. I was there to meet the person. The person turned up with the standard carnation in the top pocket so that I'd know who it was.
Right.
Okay. And that's when I saw it.
What?
What did you see?
Denim on denim.
Wow. Oh, dear. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
denim jacket, denim pants. Wouldn't be so bad if it wasn't for the denim tie.
It's either all denim or no denim.
No denim. I don't know about the all denim. I'll go a denim cap.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you shouldn't, but
on a jaunty angle. But, yeah. I mean, you're talking Albury, and maybe, you know, things are different up there.
I slipped out of the back door of the place. I've jumped into the river, swam across and disappeared into a Wodonga, and they never found me.
So are you going back to Showboat?
Look, I'll go back a couple of times. I'll slip in the back. I don't like to make a big song and dance, but I will go to the cast party.
Wish you luck on that. I mean, what are you meant to say? Chookers for the season.
Yes. Yeah. Not break a leg, as Anthony Warlow found out recently. You know, he's doing this Dr. Zhivago.
Right, what happened?
Did an injury to his leg, effectively broke his leg. Understudy stood in. They did 20 minutes of the opening preview, had to stop because whilst the man knew the words, didn't know the moves.
Oh, dear. Wow.
Wouldn't happen if you came through the Movie Ass Academy.
Absolutely.
Well, good luck with it, Lucas.
Thank you.
Terry, I've got the Herald Sun Love Book here from Valentine's Day edition of the newspaper. There's a Valentine's message in here addressed to Terry. It says, Terry, I can't wait to be your wife!
Ooh.
Exclamation mark. Mm. Love you always, Jess.
Hello.
XX. Mm. Now,
I can easily explain that. I put that in there myself.
Oh, so. Okay.
Food for thought. It's Happy Mondays.
Kiss me for the time's sake. Kiss me. Good night.
Happy Mondays. What a brilliant band. That was off the album Pills and Thrills and Belly Aches.
Yeah.
Yes.
They were always pretty open and honest about that kind of their lifestyle, weren't they?
Mm. We've got another Manchester band coming up later this evening who put the unk in funk. Coming up, we've got the Naturopath to the Stars, the incredible Sally Matherick. Last week she was wearing a full-length ball gown.
Taffeta.
Can't wait to see what she's wearing tonight and what she's discussing tonight. Last week she covered wheat allergies. Mm. I'm rooting for angina. Right now, though, we've got a brand new segment here at Lonely Hearts Club. We're very excited, especially with Duncan Jardine, because this month is Oscar month.
Oh, yes. Yes. What have we got here? We're looking forward to this.
Duncan, a surprise for you, gentlemen. We're crossing live, care of the World Wide Web.
Wow.
And the latest technology that the ABC have to Hollywood, Los Angeles, California.
Live and direct from Hollywood, Los Angeles, with all the latest entertainment, movie news and blues, it's Hollywood Nights with Sir Nigel Heathwaite.
Oh, yes, look, he's on the line now. Hello, Nigel. It's Oscar month. The buzz is really settling around the King's Speech, that one. It's shaping up as being a huge night for that film with 12 nominations. What are its chances on the night?
Oscar gold indeed, my friend. Oscar gold indeed. The King's Speech. Good to see that an interest in the theatre of the monarchy still exists, as it were. The classics, of course. I was doing King's Speeches when Colin Firth was merely a glimmer in the headmaster's eye, as it were. I have been doing it for quite some time. The classics, all the greats, Richard III, King Lear, and of course The Outsider, The King and I. My much anticipated performance. Some doubted that I could play a man of Oriental persuasion, but I remember a performance at the Lyric, and I would like to think I escaped admirably. As versatile as butter, Michael Gambon used to call me when we lived together, Gamby and I. Butter was all that was in the fridge, I can tell you that. Butter and mustard, condoms and condiments, Gamby used to say. That's all we need. Sorry to use such crude language. I know some associates of mine did pass through the flat, I won't mention them, to protect the innocent, darling, as it were. But no, I will say, playing a king is a special thing. The voice is important.
If it's Hollywood, it's Heathwaite.
And we'll have more from Sir Nigel same time next week.
Can't wait.
Yeah, great.
Looking forward to seeing what Sir Nigel thinks of the two hosts for this year's event. I'm very excited about seeing Hathaway and Franco and see how they come up.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about. The website is up and running, our Lonely Hearts website, which you can get onto via abc.net.au. Something to do with Lonely Hearts Club. We have a Twitter account at Lone Heart Club. Please twat us and we'll get back to you.
Well, tweet us.
Please tweet us and we'll get back to you. Well, you wanted more and we've got more. Returning for round two of Sound Medicine Advice and Self-Medication, we have, boys, the Naturopath to the Stars, Sally Matherick. Welcome back to the club.
Thank you, Richard.
Truly incredible outfit that you're wearing this evening. I mean, is that sequins everywhere?
Well, no, it's mostly just the shoulders and the back. It's about kind of just reflecting back to everyone about the brightness that they are.
Wow. To the stars.
I have to say, to the stars. It was an interesting idea to be carried into the studios in an egg. I mean, it's slightly wasted on radio, but webcams would be called for on
this. She'd had been in the egg for 4 days, Duncan.
Bring you some pizzazz back to medicine.
Working on the segment.
No, you look great, and we'll look after those eunuchs that came in with you. We'll get them a drink. Sally, what are we chatting about this week?
Well, today, Richard, I thought balding is an interesting phenomenon.
Any reason that's come up, Terry?
Well, can I just say, in my defence, that picture on the website...
Badly lit.
I almost say photoshopped. I know we've got
great photoshopped hair in.
Well, our photographer Albert Milton did assure me that that was the best that you could look under the circumstances.
Well,
just for the listeners at home, touchy subject, baldness, because Terry Wood does suffer from male pattern baldness. Sally.
Yes. Well, male pattern baldness is called androgenic alopecia or androgenetic alopecia. They've just recognized that a lot of it is to do with a form of testosterone, which is called DHT or dihydroxytestosterone. And that is created from free testosterone, which is changed by an enzyme called 5-alpha reductase into this DHT, which is five times more powerful than testosterone. Oh. And what that does, DHT, is actually it makes the cells, the hair follicles on the head, diminish. And it also makes the cells of the prostate enlarge. So that's what results in a prosthetic hypertrophy as well. But
sounds
in terms
painful.
Of balding, that's a really important discovery to have made. And there's some pharmaceuticals that are out which have some bad side effects.
What are apparently. The side effects?
Well, I read just this week about someone who had impotence because of it.
Oh.
Once he stopped the drug as well, it didn't actually go away.
But he had a fabulous head of hair.
Yeah. He did
it was
have
just nothing hair. Going on downstairs.
That was Kevin...
Kevin Babadonickson, my agent, who's also bald. He's the case that you're referring to, impotence and Tourette's. I don't know if you've got that listed there as well, but that is a brutal combination.
I don't know that that's related to the male pattern baldness, though, Terry.
Well, there's actually two that work in a similar way, which stop this enzyme to change testosterone.
Trust me, Tourette's is one of them.
Years ago, people went minoxidil mad. Do you remember that? That was supposed to be the answer to baldness.
Yeah.
Is there a magic bullet for baldness? I know what you do hear a lot of is, and I'm sorry to say this on air, but it's late night, rhinoceros semen. You often hear that, that placing rhinoceros semen on your head will encourage growth. I just don't understand how you're going to get regular access to a rhinoceros that you can arouse and deplete.
Well, Terry actually was the face of Carnosaurin, the product that Duncan's referring to.
Carnosaurin.
Well. I actually didn't do anything for the top of my head, but I sprung a beard. That would really make anyone proud.
A lumberjack envious.
Yeah, and then that was in the first stage of the treatment. And in the second statement, just arms completely covered. So it looked like I was just wearing sleeves. Didn't last long, but that's fine. I gave it a go, and that's what it's about.
Now, Sally, bring you back to something that's not about Terry. Male pattern baldness, is it common for it to occur in the mons pubis region? The mons pubis.
What's the mons?
It's the pubic mound.
Spell mons?
M-O-N-S. This is true.
Yeah, absolutely true.
I thought it was a Grand Prix circuit.
No, because I have a friend who is very bushy on the outside. If he doesn't do it, he looks like Larry from the Three Stooges.
How much do people spend on baldness treatments each year, Sally?
Well, in America, it's over $1 billion per year, which is a lot of money. It's also reflective of just how many people are suffering from baldness on male pattern baldness of the head.
Hmm. What are some common tactics to deal with baldness, aside from wearing a hat?
There are also, of course, the toupees or wigs, etc.
They still make them.
They still make those,
well,
yes.
Sally, take it from me. The comb-over doesn't work. The toupee doesn't work. Does anything actually work?
Look, I think it's going to have to be a multifactorial approach to saving your hair. You can't just say one thing is going to absolutely fix it. You've got to look at it's genetically predetermined on one level, so it comes through the maternal grandfather. So if your maternal grandfather has a good head of hair, chances are you will as well. So even if you've got maternal grandfather that doesn't have good hair, you can do things to optimize your hair growth, like great nutrition, good exercise, getting blood flow there, nourishing your scalp with good shampoos and things like that. So you're not using something that's going to be corrosive and wearing down the natural oils there. But there are also a handful of effective herbal remedies and nutritional remedies, and there's more and more evidence coming out about them as part of this whole holistic plan of health and wellness to increase, to reduce the balding and even grow some back.
I had a teammate, Sally, Murray Johnson.
MJ.
Yeah, MJ. We didn't call him MJ. We called him Murray. He was down at the club and we used to just have so much fun with him, we used to call him Baldy and Cue Ball and Alien and Lollipop and just laugh and laugh and laugh. And he only lasted 3 days at the club. Are you telling me that if he'd had that holistic approach back then that things might have been different and he could have been around the club a bit longer?
Maybe, possibly, depending on, his commitment to it and what he was doing about it. And certainly also if he was looking at incorporating things like saw palmetto, for example, which is a herbal medicine specifically for men. I mean, used a lot for various male health issues, but it's been shown to inhibit that enzyme they spoke about, the 5-alpha reductase, which of course is going to reduce the amount of the DHT form of testosterone, which is going to start to reduce the amount of atrophy of the follicle cells, which will reduce baldness. Mm. And it's going to be a prosthetic kind of support as well. But again, that does have to be put in within a whole holistic context of good diet, exercise, hydration, all that sort of stuff.
What about the future, Sally? Because, you know, stem cell research is going a long way. And, I mean, you know, I'd like to think that there are better options. I just did some cutaways recently for 10 News when John Travolta was out here in the Flight Centre outfit. I think he had all the people from Qantas doing a number from Rocky Horror Show in order to distract people from a series of mid-air disasters that had occurred. And, you know, it took an hour and a half to get the hair ready for the shoot. And at the end, you know, I had to frame, there's a bit of cheesecloth out the side. It's embarrassing. And you're going, if that's a wealthy Hollywood celebrity and he's got that look happening, surely we can do better in the future.
Well, let's hope so, Duncan.
What's coming?
I mean, stem cell research is phenomenal, not just, you know, for balding issues, but certainly for balding issues as well. That's possibly the next step. They also recently found a treatment with A stress and B, which was associated with levels of stress. And so basically the research is also showing that reducing the amount of stress in the body or reducing the amount of stress hormones in the body is also another way of reducing baldness. So they're the two latest kind of hormonal stuff, which right. is the stress and B, and the stem cell therapy is where we're going in the future, I think, with baldness treatment.
Fantastic. Good
wow.
news.
Well, thank you very much, Sally. Always enchanting, always enthralling. Sally Mathrick, the naturopath to the stars. Coming up, we have Alan Brough, who's coming into the Lonely Hearts Club to talk about his first date ever. We'll be discussing what's in a name, how it affects our future. We'll also be hearing more from Matilde. Help spice things up in the relationship. Right now, it's time for Laverne Baker. Yes, welcome back to Radio National. We are the Lonely Hearts Club. That was Laverne Baker with Jim Dandy. And wasn't Jim Dandy. Thanks very much to Sally Mathrick for coming in and shedding some light on Terry's scalp, his manager also. It was wonderful to hear and see her looking so smart. She'll be back in a couple of weeks' time. Next week we've actually got a new lady expert.
Have we? In. Who's that?
It's Jane Allsop, the
from
wonderful Australian actor.
Healers.
Yes. Healers as in Blue Healers.
Blue Healers.
You worked with her, Duncan?
I think I might have done some pickup shots for Guru Wayne.
Wow.
With Jane Allsop. We'll talk about that.
Of course.
With her next week. But yes, she'll be sharing the Lady Expert Spotlight with Sally. She'll be discussing recipes that we could use on dates to impress and what have you. And speaking of dates and what have you, Alan Brough's coming up in the second hour at the Lonely Hearts Club, talking to us about his first ever date. And we sent a twatter out to the Twitterverse during the week asking appropriate places to go on first dates. But before we get to that, I wanted to just bring up something with you gentlemen. Of course, there was a very famous book called Freakonomics recently, which I had the privilege of reading in prison, and it suggested that humans' behaviour was incentive-based, and you could determine things and behave appropriately if you could assume to know humans' behaviour, how they would react to something. And they suggested in the book that perhaps names set you out on a path, as opposed to nature versus nurture. It's sometimes it's predestined. And with that in mind, I found it interesting when I picked up the Herald Sun on Valentine's Day and read an article on page 18 simply titled, "A Downside to Having Famous Parents, It's Not All Sugar and Spice."
Oh, is that a name, Sugar?
Sugar.
Who's got that?
Former jockey and Channel 7 commentator Simon Marshall and his wife Sally Burke, who named their baby girl Sugar.
Simon Marshall, does he count as a celebrity? I mean,
it's in the paper, so he's got here. When Sugar came up, we both looked at each other. Reactions to the original moniker have been mixed. Some say Sugar, he said. Others say, wow, what a lovely name.
Mm.
We love it, though. It could be a world first, as far as I know.
Maybe a world last.
He's described her as a little cutie. She has Sally's lips and her long legs, and looks like she has my chin. and blue eyes.
So that for is the, not Simon, a good combination for coming out of the womb.
Simon Marshall fans, be pleased to know that his chin lives on.
Look, these new names, some of them are just ludicrous. A friend of mine has a kiddie at school who's got a kid in their class whose name is L hyphen A.
What?
And that is pronounced Ladasha. Yes. Ladasha.
Yes. Absolutely beautiful name. I know a pediatrician, I won't say which hospital, who informed me that one of the most popular names in 2011 thus far is Absidy.
Oh, no.
Absidy.
Do you know how to spell Absidy?
No.
A, B, C,
oh,
D.
No.
Don't.
Oh, no.
E.
E.
Yeah. So that's ridiculous.
One day, as a nation, we are going to wake up and realise...
It's not really a name. It's a password, isn't it?
Bunch of idiots.
But the parents have to take responsibility for this, because what you name your child will actually affect what they're like, and often actually how good-looking they are.
How so?
Well, in the week, I actually looked up a website called hotnames.net. You guys been on this?
No, no.
This is quite amazing. Personally, I've never met a Sam I just couldn't just inhale.
As in, you love him.
Yeah, I love Sam.
Well, it's a good straightforward name, isn't it? Yeah. Sensible name.
According to hotnames.net, Brody is always hot. Always. Mm. Okay.
Right.
Luke, Talon, Jake and Spencer are smoking. That's without a G. That's with an apostrophe instead of a G. Noah and Jackson, more often than not, are quite hot. Ethan, Heath and Jude, excluding those in Canada, are always stinging hot. Again, without the G, with the apostrophe. Mm.
You mentioned celebrities giving them names, and it always backfires and they have to change them later. Yeah. David Bowie's son. Remember, he called him Zoe
Bowie. Wasn't that a girl? Was that a daughter or a son?
No, it's a bloke.
Son?
And he went and changed it. He's now Duncan Jones. He's got a sensible name.
Duncan Jones.
He directed that film recently, Moon.
Okay.
Moon, I was asked to work on that, and I was a bit of confusion. I thought it was the Peter Moon story, so I nearly signed up.
Yeah.
Then I found out it was some science fiction nonsense. Okay. But, of course, so that's the end result. Would you want to see that film and see directed by Zoe Bowie?
No.
Look ridiculous.
No, absolutely not.
Moon Unit, things like that. Well, you know, I say bring back some of the old names.
Yeah,
you never see a kid called Huckleberry anymore.
Yeah. Or Trixie.
Yeah.
You know, I hear what you say, though, about, you know, names preordaining what a person looks like. But sometimes it's not always the case. Like, for instance, my second lawyer, she was called Bubbles.
Wow.
You know, it shocked me when I first met her.
Legally.
Legally.
In the yellow pages, you look up just Bubbles and you might get good legal counsel for that? Or?
Well, she was a hell of a card player, I'll tell you that. But AFL world, my background, I often bump into Nathan Buckley, the former Collingwood captain, and his beautiful wife, Tanya, and their two kids, Ace and Jet.
Jet, with two T's?
Right.
With two T's.
Oh, yeah. Well, it says here, Jet is always hot.
Never not.
Ace.
Doesn't say anything.
A-Y-C-E.
Ace.
And Gwen Stefani and Gavin Rossdale, they call it Zuma, which I thought was a little nod to Louis
Prima.
A little nod, or one of those newfangled yoga classes to music. I'm not sure, is that what we're talking about there?
Well, we've got a top five girls' names here from last year. Yeah. And when I say top five, they're top five socioeconomic girls' names, according to their social status, I guess. Number one, Sarah. Mm. Number two, Emily. Wow. Three, Jessica. Four, Lauren. Mm. Five, Ashley.
See, standard names, aren't they?
In the lower class, the lower socioeconomic rung, the top five names are Ashley.
Wow, hang on.
Number five before. Jessica, Amanda, Samantha, and number five, Brittany.
Brittany. But you see, what's the spelling of Brittany? Because you'll go, oh, well, there's B-R-I-T-T-A-N-Y. Then there'll be like Britney Spears. And then you'll see one that's got five E's and a number seven in there.
This one's got double T, B-R-I-T-T-N-E-Y.
Right.
Now,
Brittany.
In a recent study in America, they found that there were 180 people in America called Unique. Their real name was Unique. And of those 180, there was 130 different spellings.
Of Unique.
Of Unique. What's in a name? If you have any unique or interesting names,
let us know.
Let us know. Jump on our Twitter site.
Actually, one's just popped up here. Excited to be me says she tends to go for Brian's.
Yeah.
Brian's, wow.
Hang on. Sorry, there's something going on outside the studio. Somebody's trying to come in over here.
No, this program, this is one of these programs that's going to make Tony Abbott sound like an insensitive oaf, isn't it?
Some security, Richard.
All right.
You're all part of that bloody cabal.
John, I don't know about
terrorists. Yeah, you're sitting out to make Tony Abbott look like an idiot.
Have right. a sit down. Just have a seat.
All talk about everything, don't you? Oh, Richard Silk. Oh, yeah, you smooth talking.
I beg your pardon.
Hang on. This
is Wood, supposedly a well-known sports journalist. I've never heard of him.
Well, very well-known.
John Michael.
Second unit director. Yeah, look. By people who, like, shot some doors open.
Oh, there's no call for that.
No.
John Michael.
Come on.
Take your hands off me.
Teach me how to do the rapscallion a few... No, I won't be. No. I won't be silent, because I know what you're up to, what you're doing to Tony Abbott.
That's enough, I think.
You're out there, you're producing.
Get him out.
You're masquerading.
Terry.
You've had your say.
Producers and in one instance, a highwayman.
All right. Thanks, John. Okay. Look, wow. We're going to have to go to a song.
We're sorry. Just going to get in here like that. This
ridiculous.
Is...
it's Benny Mardonis. Welcome back to Radio National. For the astute Benny Mardonis fan, you will notice that was re-recorded in stereo, that track. Benny Mardonis from Syracuse, of course, had a top 20 hit with Into the Night off the self-titled album that his fans know simply as the Blue Album. And it was re-released again in stereo and once again became a number 18 hit.
What do they do? Do they just put two mono speakers up against a microphone and just record that?
Well, you'll have to speak to our audio expert.
Is he here?
He is, Ricky D. But yes, it was a top 20 hit in 1980 and 1989. A couple of years ago, you guys may have seen him in the documentary Into the Night, the Benny Mardonis story, which featured a lot of bonus footage. And DVD extras.
Donus footage.
We should just apologise at this point for that interruption from John Michael Housen. I don't know how... security is not what it should be on a Saturday night.
Duncan, that's what it is. If Ricky D can actually just stand at the door, that'd be handy.
Well, just mop at the front door, that security at this time.
A mop with a hat on it. A pair of sunglasses. Right. Ridiculous.
That mop does have a name. That's Jeff.
And hello to all the John Michael Housen fans out there. We... look forward to chatting with you when you awake from your coma.
If you want to join us on the Lonely Hearts Club Twitter, at Lone Heart Club, we've doubled our number of tweeters this week, gents. So,
that's wonderful. That's great. Well, we promised that we'd chat to the Lonely Hearts Club members out there, and we've got a couple on the line. Tim from Canberra. Hello, Tim.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Good, thanks, Tim.
Where did your name, Tim, come from?
Well, I'm hoping your parents, why they name you your name doesn't actually have any effect. When my mum was in labour with me, her best friend gave her a book named Tim, which you might remember was turned into a Mel Gibson film.
Do you see yourself as being named after a book or named after a Mel Gibson film?
I think Mel Gibson. My mum's got a bit of an infatuation with that man.
A friend of mine actually named all three kids after Mel Gibson films. They've got Max, they've got Lethal, and they've got Birdonna, named after, of course, Bird on a Wire.
Wow, that's beautiful triumvirate there of names. Thanks, Tim. Crossing to Sally in Sydney. Sally, where did you get named?
My name was actually decided on an AFL football match, and it's interesting to hear you say what that means for the rest of your life, because I did turn out to be a bit of a bogan. So.
Are you talking in a past tense there? Or are you? What sort of football match, Sally?
So it was the 1977 grand final between North Melbourne and Collingwood, and there was a draw, if you might remember, and my pa, who was a staunch Pies supporter, was devastated, and he really wanted me to be called Sally. My parents are going to be calling me Georgina, and after the second rematch where they lost, he was so devastated. Mum and Dad just said, well, let's just appease him and we'll go with Sally.
You're probably quite lucky that you didn't get called Replay. Of course, the first game ended in a draw after the great Twiggy Dunn, who was a bit of a mentor of mine. Twiggy kicked a torpedo punt straight through the middle to draw the game, and then the following week, do you know what your parents barracked for, North Melbourne or Collingwood?
One's Collingwood, one's Melbourne.
Right, because if they were North Melbourne, who ended up winning the grand final, the replay, you would have been called Arnold. The great Arnold Brightus kicked six in the replay and was the big star.
So, Arnold's a lot more cultured, though.
Or Brightus. I think Brightus is a good first name as well.
Sally, forgive me. So was someone named Sally in the Collingwood team?
No, it was just to make Pa happy.
Right.
you know, when Pies lose the grand final, all things fall down.
Mm. Well, we wish both you and, well, you can always legally change your name. I recently did a stretch with a gentleman by the name of Ralph Torres who changed his name legally to Big Bad Ralph. Thanks very much, Sally.
Thank you, Sally.
No worries. I see a good topic we should talk about, Richard, is nicknames. You know when people will insist that you call them by a nickname that they've invented themselves? And, of course, for a number of years I've worked with Peter Mockry from Murder Call.
Yep. Right.
And I guess crews just call him, if anything, they say Mockers. What's Mockers up to? He showed up at work one day and said, I'd like people to start calling me the Mock Turtle. That was a nickname he came up for himself, and it didn't catch. The crew refused to bite. So why are you called the Mock Turtle? He goes, well, it's because it's my career, you know, the turtle and the hare. Okay, that's the tortoise. It's not the same.
Of course.
No one's going to call you the Mock Turtle. People are just going to call you what they've always called you, the bloke from Murder Call.
Yeah.
And Peter Mockery, of course, now on Shortland Street, I believe.
Across the Tasman. Been sentenced to several years on Shortland Street.
And we send out a cheerio if he's listening. We do have the fantastic team captain from Spicks and Specks, Mr. Alan Braug.
Oh, come on. It's Alan Bro.
Alan Bro. That does not say bro. Anyway.
It is an odd spelling, I admit, because you've got Rob Bruff.
Is it Bruff?
It's spelled the same.
It's
and you
Family
go, well,
Feud.
Why isn't it Alan Bruff or why isn't it Rob
Bruff? Is
Bro?
It Rob Bruff coming in or is it Alan?
I'm sure he loves to be asked about this.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And, of course, we have also the fantastic segment Pillow Talk with Mathilde coming up on the Lonely Hearts Club.
Well, it's about that time of night where we like to pause for reflection. As a young man embarking on the journey of life, dreams are formed, hopes I realised the world's your oyster, and like the warm glow of a candle, love flickers bright. But sometimes in our lives those dreams are shattered. Our hopes fade, the oyster is contaminated by an ocean-dwelling algae. And like a candle, the flame of love grows cold, eventually burning out. With this in mind, it's important to take time in our busy schedules to stop, gaze out a rain-swept window as the world goes by. And think about all those people who are more successful than us, who are happier, healthier, content, for whom dreams do come true. It's important to reflect on what might have been. It's important to have me time. Sometimes it's not about us. Judy Collins, Send in the Clowns.
The lesser known of the Collins sisters, isn't she? Fair to say.
She actually sang the theme song to the Rankin-Bass production of Wind in the Willows.
Really?
Can't believe I haven't heard of her.
No, she's a wonderful musician, and you may be familiar with her activist history. She actually testified on behalf of the Chicago 7, breaking into song. In the middle of the courtroom. The Lonely Hearts Club is what you're listening to. And we'd love to hear from you. Any questions you have about ladies and chicks and girlies and women?
Trying to appeal to the ladies as well as our men.
Sure.
Well, objectify.
Having John Michael on, that'll help us.
Speaking of ladies, last week after the success of our first segment in which we invited a madam of the night, friend of mine from the eastern suburbs to help us spice things up in the bedroom if we're at a loss.
It was very popular.
It's an eyebrow raiser.
Yeah, I must say it was very popular with people in Adelaide who have voiced their support of Pillow Talk with Mathilde. Santé bonheur. Joie dans le cœur.
Acceptez-vous les dollars australiens? Acceptez-vous les dollars australiens? Do you accept Australian dollars?
Wow.
I think it's my favourite part of the show.
Oh, thanks, Derry.
I'm learning a lot from Mathilde and just a big, big fan. I get a phonetic spelling of Mathilde.
Trawling through the internet the other day and I found myself on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, it's great, isn't it?
I don't know if you guys have ever put your own name into YouTube.
I wouldn't dare.
Never.
No. Well, I have a fair few of my earlier works on YouTube.
Oh, and yeah.
I was keen to relive the glory of the 1994 Hockey World Cup, which if you guys know
What did you do there again?
Well, it was my idea to kind of involve the giant inflatable Rick Charlesworth.
Right.
Which everyone thought was an inflatable David Wansborough.
For fools.
Anyway.
Rick Charlesworth, of course, the former Australian hockey captain.
Captain, and went on to coach the women's and the men's teams. Mm. Anyway, I was on YouTube and I was trying to find my clip, and I've realised that there is another Lucas Dawson.
Another one?
A choreographer?
No, a basketballer. An NBA basketballer. And he has basically, or someone in his camp, has uploaded him just with all these slam dunks, alley-oops, all these kind of heroics that are on there, and have bumped me down to the 7th page. Is the first time I even appear.
Really?
And interestingly, not the Hockey World Cup. Interestingly enough, it was the 2006 second stanza of the closing ceremony of the Commonwealth Games in Melbourne.
And what did you do there?
Oh, I was just minded to involve the big inflatable Steve Monteghetti.
Can I just say, there does seem to be a theme with much of your work.
I don't deal with themes, I deal with inspiration. So whatever comes.
So the rankings are decided by number of hits.
By number of hits.
So the way we could get you back to number one
is to get the listeners on there and try and get some hits up.
And what do you reckon is your main game?
The biggest one that I would go for is, of course, you guys know, because this and actually ties in with basketball, because in 1997, I choreographed, of course, the launch of the Melbourne Tigers NBL season.
Right.
Gazy. Yeah, in tune with the celestial jungle theme, Tigers in Heaven in 97. And it was my idea to incorporate the big inflatable Gaze Loggins alley-oop.
Now, there does seem to be a theme. I will just point that out to you again with your work.
But brilliance.
Dirigibles seems to be the running theme.
You've got an address for our listeners there, Lucas?
Well, I live on Junction.
Just YouTube, I reckon, type
in. They don't have to come to your place to YouTube, do they?
No, Lucas Dawson inflatable, I think, would be the phrase to put in.
That's the theme I was
into the YouTube search engine.
Don't put in Wansborough if you're looking for the Hockey World Cup. Look for Charlesworth.
Charlesworth.
Well, boys, before we have our very special guest dropping into the studios, to the club, AB. Of course, a lot of people know him from Bad Eggs, the wonderful film directed by one Tony Martin.
Yeah, I did a bit of second unit on that.
What did you do?
I got the feeling the bloke in charge had no idea what he was doing. I think it was a hand on a light switch again. It's becoming my signature.
I didn't see it.
Well, he was also in The Neuger.
Didn't see that either.
Film directed by Bill Bennett.
I think he was German in that.
Goodness.
Oh, he sounds versatile.
Bro. Yeah.
The Nugget with Eric Banner.
Yeah.
The Neuger, I believe it's called. Siam Sunset, The Crack.
John Paulson.
I think AB was playing a bit of guitar on a bus.
I didn't see it.
Siam Sunset.
There's nothing he can't do.
Yes, we're going to prod and probe Alan Bro about his first ever date. It's time to take things up a notch, to push back the chairs, kick off your shoes, and dance like no one is watching, because this one's from the Bad Boys of Funk. It's Simply Red. The Unk in Funk. Mr. Mick Hucknall, of course, was the last surviving original member of Simply Red by the time they broke up in 2010, the day the music died. And, of course, that was a 1985 cover of the soul song by the Valentines. And, of course, Simply Red was known by another band, and perhaps our next guest may be able to answer that. You may know him as a superstar of Australian film and television, but we know him as a man who gets what he wants when he wants it.
Yeah.
Mr. Alan Bro. Alan.
Hello.
Thank you for joining the Lonely Hearts Club.
Thank you for having me. Otherwise, I'd be out on the streets drinking.
Simply Red, formerly known as what?
Ranga Squad, I believe, was one of the names that they went under. But it failed to find popularity with the general public. I think they were called the Frantic Elevators.
Wow. Cue applause.
He didn't press his button.
And wasn't that great of him to just feign not knowing there for a while? Such a humble
The Ranger Squad. They both worked for me.
the name Simply Red actually came about from an instance where Mick Hucknall was speaking to a venue manager who was wanting to know what to write on the board to promote who was playing. And he said, the band's name's Red, Simply Red. And the gentleman wrote up the incorrect moniker, which, of course, then stuck, Simply Red.
Wow.
And didn't they go on to really change the entertainment landscape?
I have to say,
and again.
Recently, Mick Hucknall released a startling number of statistics about how many groupies he had relations with in the 80s.
Prolific.
And the number was...
Double figures?
It was down to three a day.
Wow.
And
three
I just,
a day? Down to three a day. He was cutting down, or was this...
He was reducing. It's just disturbing, I think, to picture him on the job with anyone, let alone three women a day.
Wow. I like the idea of cutting down on groupies. Like, you get a patch.
Yeah.
How do you go with groupies, Alan? I would imagine as a star of film and television, you would have your pick of men and women.
Well, it's lovely of you to imagine that, and I've imagined it as well. But I believe that Lucas said when you were talking about the films that I had allegedly been in, he mentioned that he had not seen any of them.
Absolutely,
and most people haven't. And one, Bad Eggs, doesn't fall into this category, but most of the rest of them are pretty crappy. So you don't get a lot of groupies from crappy movies unless you're John Michael Howson.
But hang on, Alan, you've been on tour with the Spicks and Specks Roadshow. Yes. I heard that is a constant bacchanalian scourge across the nation. Mm.
It is if you like Austie Frocks and Candlewick Bedspreads, but both of those things give me a rash. Yeah. And quite frankly, you can tell whether you've been at the groupies because you've just broken out in hives down the side that they were at you. Now, look, given that I work mainly on the ABC and the ABC's demographic is into the higher numbers when you're talking about demographics, their intentions are good. But let's put it this way, self-lubrication is not one of their strong points.
I don't know if we can say lubrication on Radio National, can we?
Alan, I wanted to ask you about being an actor, and in Siam Sunset, I believe that's when you first worked with Duncan.
Excellent performance, I think, from Alan in that film.
Yeah. Oh, what did he do, play the guitar on a bus?
He certainly did, like nobody before.
It doesn't sound like acting.
Well, let's keep it positive, Lucas, because... Alan, you had a sex scene in that film, didn't you? Talk us through how that works on a film set.
Yeah, I did have a sex scene. How it worked on the film set was I sat with a young lady. We had no pants on. We sat on the bonnet of an abandoned ute an hour north of Cooper Pedy, and we were filmed pretending to do it, but they weren't filming sound, which means that the director... Now, you would have seen when they're showing, like, the making of movies, they'll often have the camera on a huge crane and the director or the director of photography will be sitting next to it and flying in. Well, the director was doing that and shouting instructions as what we might do.
And Alan, Cooper Pedy, one of the more romantic places, it's the opal capital of the Southern Hemisphere, and I found there's nothing more romantic than...
The setting of the Fire in the Stone.
Yeah.
Wonderful movie.
It is. It's very romantic, particularly if you like being punched in underground pubs. It was a really interesting place because when we were going there, people were saying to us that it's a horribly violent place and there were a lot of men there who had gone there as their last resort.
Yeah. It didn't matter because they're all underground.
Yeah,
it was all hidden.
Yeah, and one of the things that I did there that I have never done since is I did a gig in an underground bar. So I've done stand-up underground, which was remarkably like doing it above ground.
Yeah.
But you were vaguely aware of if there was an earthquake, we were all screwed.
Okay.
I wanted to ask, Alan, the boys and I, we've been chatting with our Lonely Hearts Club members about first dates. Mm. And we understand that you grew up in a little Australian town called New Zealand. And will you talk us through you growing up and perhaps your first ever date? Would you reveal to the Radio National listeners?
Well, Duncan will, I think, understand this better than anyone, him being a notable second unit director and a film buff as well.
And a New Zealander as well originally.
A New Zealander as well originally. I was born in a small place called Hawera, and I then went to boarding school. And when I was 13, I invited a young lady to go to the pictures of a Saturday afternoon.
Oh, what was the film? Do you remember?
Being There.
Really?
Yeah.
Peter Sellers, Hal Ashby, 1979.
Yeah, exactly. And where Peter Sellers plays Chauncey Gardner. How would you describe him, Duncan?
He's a fool. He's the idiot savant. Well, he's a gardener. He's a simpleton.
Yeah.
But he's mistaken for genius by the Washington set.
Yeah. And it's quite an
interesting film, and I loved it. But the young lady that I took got about 30 minutes in, where there is, I believe, a scene where two gentlemen who enjoy the company of other gentlemen invite Chauncey upstairs to watch.
That's right.
Because he says, I like to watch. And they said, well, we haven't tried that before. And up they go. Whereupon she rose from the seat at the cinema and said, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. And you're an idiot. And stomped out.
That's it. That was your first.
Yeah, that was my first date. So
had you
I
kissed her by this stage?
I hadn't. I'd only started my coolment, so I hadn't okay. I'd just been getting my breath ready for it. I was engrossed in the film.
Yeah.
And kissing her was very far from my mind.
Imagine if she'd made it to the scene where Shirley MacLaine enjoys the company of herself. quite vociferously, if I remember.
Yes, I imagine someone might have gagged on a coolment had they made it through to that scene.
But hang on, so she stormed out half an hour in. Do you stay for the rest of the film? Or
I loved it.
Okay, so you didn't chase her into the foyer.
No. So in a way, my first date was with Peter Sellers the actual person I was with stayed with me less time than he did.
Kind of like most of Peter's wives. That's what they say about being with Peter.
And I ate all my coolments and then walked back to the boarding hostel.
Well, bearing that in mind, Alan, do you think we could get some Radio National listeners to phone up and perhaps have a chat to you about their first dates or appropriate venues for first dates? We put a little twat out during the week. We wanted to ask, first and foremost, if you'd actually reveal your zodiac sign, and if so, is it an important thing when it comes to dating?
I'm a Sagittarius, and
What does that mean?
I don't know. What does it mean, Lucas?
Dangerous.
Is it?
It's really dangerous.
Living on the edge.
I don't want to worry you, but I'm a Pisces.
Oh, yes.
Quite electric in here.
That accounts for that video of you and a fish that I've seen.
Goodness.
Okay. Is that on YouTube? Yes. Password protected, that one.
We've all got a past, okay? We've all got a past.
Did you choreograph that one as well?
I did indeed.
It did look choreographed. And then, I mean, it was lovely because it was slow, it was tender, then there was thrashing, then it was slow, and then there was tender, then the hook went in.
Alan, I'm ready to consign it to history.
Stick around. You're with the delightful Alan Bro, who's dropped into the club right now. It's Cat Power. Cat Power. Off the album The Greatest. And that was After It All. Wonderful musician she is. I wonder if Cat Power is her real name. What's in a name, Alan Bro?
Chan Marshall.
Correct.
Oh, my God.
3 points.
That's why Rockwiz is the number one show.
You've said Spicks and Specks.
Spicks and Specks is the show to watch.
I'm loath to slow the show down by getting back on track, but we have a couple of people have written in to the club.
A lot of people calling in wanting more Alan Bro.
Absolutely. On the Twitter sphere has gone bananas this week. Now, Jackaroo simply says, I listened to this in the car driving Saturday night. Good idea, but all you guys have too much ego going on. Anyway, good luck. I'll listen next week, see if it's any better, which I think is a little bit rough. Hey, your download podcast didn't work. It only works when I play it on my laptop.
Wow, thanks, Jackaroo.
I've got a couple here. One's from Pedro. Mm-hmm. Tell that bloke never to say ring-a-ding-ding again, or I'll turn the radio off.
It's just a catchphrase.
I've got one here from Kathy Darakis who says, who dis?
That's just...
Look forward to getting to the bottom of that.
Is that the sort of mail you get on your program, Alan?
Often the correspondence I receive is lengthier.
Right.
But the point is very similar to Jackaroo's.
Right.
I listened to it in the car. Mm. I was confused by it and none of it worked.
Yeah. Boys, we have some Lonely Hearts Club members on the line who are keen to chat with Mr. Bro. We're crossing live to Geelong. Harry.
Oh, I'm here. How are you?
Wonderful, thanks, Harry. Let's talk first dates.
Well, I went to a lovely little spot out here in Geelong.
Yeah.
At the back of Karai there, the Geelong Refinery there, the Shell Refinery there.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Secluded, the lights are lovely, the way that they reflect across the bay there.
Yes, it's just beautiful, but you just got to get the right winds, because if you're on the wrong wind, you get quite a nasty smell throughout the vehicle. Yeah. So that's sort of where I go for my dates.
Been a big day, Harry?
Yeah, big day.
It sounds like the wind is going the wrong way and the vehicle is full of fumes.
Oh, that's right.
You can never have enough carbon monoxide in cryo. It's
No.
It's a great T-shirt I bought once from down there at Port Arlington. Harry, is there something you wanted to discuss?
Well, I'm just sort of having trouble keeping these dates that I take there. I don't know if I should be looking for somewhere else.
Have you considered trying to mix up the destination?
Well, from there, I usually go to the Avalon Airport, watch a couple of planes come through there.
Nice. Mm.
Have you thought about going down to the Tats venue that's housed inside a replica of the Sphinx?
Oh, the old Sphinx Hotel. Well, I find it sort of been kicked out of there and allowed to go there.
Harry, I always find that hitchhiking's a great way to meet ladies. Have you tried that?
No, I haven't had the chance to hitchhike for a while.
Set yourself a goal, perhaps, say, Robe or Mount Gambier, the home of Dave Graney.
What about GPAC, the Geelong Entertainment Centre?
Oh, yeah.
What's on down there? I think the two of the four kinsmen with the tribute to Frank Spencer might be coming to town.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yep. No, I haven't checked that out. My big thing is the old industrial estates, you know, I sort of hang out those places.
Yeah. And your dates, they don't seem to be enjoying that, Harry. Is that what you're telling us?
No, they don't.
Right.
Mm. Oh, well, Harry, I think we've got some members on our website who do like crumb lamb cutlets and, in fact, like crumbing anything, and perhaps we'll put you in touch with them.
Thank you.
Great. Jason, in Sydney. We're wondering your thoughts on first dates, and I understand you have a little affinity with zoos.
Yeah, it's yet to be a proven principle because I've never actually managed to convince a girl to go with me there, but I have a theory that it's a wonderful place for a first date. Theory developed roughly after my making out in the back of the cinema days.
Which part of the zoo would be the most romantic area, do you think?
Somewhere around the monkey enclosure, I guess.
Yeah, I was going to say, one of the things that strikes me about it, Jason, and I think it is quite a good plan, because basically primal sexual impulses are on display all throughout the zoo.
A lot of people presenting.
I imagine a young man who'd maybe had a couple of, you know, grasshoppers or fluffy ducks before going there could be emboldened by the displays from particularly the primates.
Yeah.
Exactly, and there's some pretty unattractive animals there, so suddenly you're looking pretty good.
That's right. Yeah. So if you can position yourself next to an orangutan, suddenly you're looking like George Clooney.
But I'd never thought about zoos, you know. It's a great idea. Very, very good idea.
Thank you, Jason.
And, I mean, in a way, can I just, sorry to interrupt one more time, but Harry with his industrial estates and Jason with his zoo, if you went to an open plain zoo, particularly one with quite old and infirm animals, you'd get a lovely combination of the two things.
Plus, you'd lock in the car with you.
Exactly. Oh, wow. Yes, wow. And she's frightened to go outside because she might be killed, so what better to do than to make out?
Yeah. I like it. Oh, yeah, all those elements coming together, it's just like Studio 54 all over again, really. So,
but with less predatory behaviour.
Exactly. We're learning lots tonight.
This is Bill Withers with Just the Two of Us. Just the Two of Us by Bill Withers.
Bill Withers.
Indeed. Alan Bro is with us. Alan, the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, some bloody great shows from you over the years. Was it Top Town?
Yes, the Top Town. That was a number of years ago.
Wonderful show. I remember further back, a show you did called Interrogation, which was erratically attended, not by audiences, but by your co-star Greg Fleet, if I recall. That was award nominee for the Barry.
Yeah, that was fun. One out of three times to do. No, it was great. So, yes, I'm doing a show this year.
Called
What Is It You Can't Face? And it's a radical reinterpretation of The Sound of Music.
Love it.
And the byline is The Hills Are Alive with the Sound of Gunfire. Basically, right. It's an ultra violent remake of The Sound of Music with songs and all done by me.
Has it been choreographed?
No, but I would like to talk to you about that.
We'll talk off air.
Okay. Any inflatables? Because that's
if you're looking for that in your show, can I just say, well, Lucas could be your man.
I'm open to all suggestions.
Mm.
Alan, of course, the title of your show comes from Mother Superior.
Yes, she does say to Maria, what is it you can't face?
Yes.
And she will say that in the show.
Wow. Always tiptoeing across the boundaries of risque. Morality. And that's Alan Brough for you. Alan, thank you very much for dropping into the studio and to the Lonely Hearts Club. We'll keep an eye out for you in your many pursuits. I would like to say to you from the bottom of my heart, next time, please wear pants.
It was a great pleasure, but unfortunately now I'm stuck to the chair.
Wow. Ouch. Gentlemen, time to sign off to all our listeners, both here in Australia, nationally, and overseas. Mm. What's on next week for you, Terry?
Everyone, get down to the... I do a lot of public speaking. As you know, I'm heading down to the Bowen Heads Tennis Club on a Wednesday night there with an old friend of mine, Wendy Turnbull, the rabbit, and I do a little bit of a two-hander. Mm. It's the third year, I think, we're going back to have a little chat there and enjoy going back to the Bowen Heads Tennis Club. Because
got some new gags this time?
No, well, you know, if it ain't broke.
Wendy's still doing her Sammy Davis Jr. impersonations?
And I tell you what, to see her play, you wouldn't know that she had that sort of soft shoe in her, but she just throws the sand down and really get down there because it's always a good night. And Bowen Heads Tennis Club always enjoy that gig because they let us go on after the strippers.
Excellent.
Well done. Get down there this Wednesday night.
Wonderful. Lucas.
Ring a ding ding.
The listeners don't like that, by the way. That was the feedback. I don't know if you got that.
I've had good feedback.
I have to say,
okay,
most.
All right. Have you got one?
I think
have
it,
you
was, got a fee- it does got- help that well, he does have a catchphrase.
Have you got a catchphrase, Terry?
Well, I could suggest many. There's let's get it on. Let's get ready to rumble. Game, set, and match.
Anyway. Alan, perhaps you have a catchphrase that you'd like to endow to Terry or Lucas.
Shut up! How about shut up as a catchphrase? So every time you just go, and Alan Bro, shut up! It's got a sort of old English vibe to it.
I think that's Bill O'Reilly's catchphrase on the Fox News.
You're exactly good right. Point. Yeah, exactly right.
Alan Bro, goodbye.
Shut up!
Yes, okay. Terry Wood.
Start your engines.
Lucas Dawson.
Ring-a-ding-ding. Next week...
We've actually got one of the other boys from the men's group coming in to replace...
Really? Who's
Lucas
on board?
Wesley Deshaun.
Oh, not the poet.
The poet himself, yes.
Right, okay. We might have some poetry next week.
Duncan... No doubt a busy week ahead for you.
Yes, I'm doing some second unit on a new Australian film called Second Exchange, which is actually the long-awaited sequel to Exchange Lifeguards with Julian McMahon and Christopher Atkins, Phil Avalon effort from the early 90s. So everyone's getting back together. The gang.
McMahon's back.
Are back together, yep.
You've got your call sheet already?
Nothing's been typed. It's low-budget production.
For the Lonely Hearts Club members out there, could they perhaps come and visit set at some stage this week?
Oh, I think Phil Avalon is trying to get a bit of off-the-books extra thing happening. It's Equity have not approved it, but members of the public will be invited to be in a major motion picture for minimal remuneration. Wow. Details on the website.
Well, thanks, Australia, and thanks, the world. Thank you. Must go out to our wonderful guests this evening, the incredible Alan Brough. We'd also like to thank Mathilde, Nigel Bassingthwaite, Sir Nigel. Hopefully we'll hear from him next week. And, of course, you, the listeners.
And Sally, of course.
Yes, I'm getting to Sally.
Right, okay, pardon me.
So she's after the listeners?
She is.
Oh. Why is that? She actually bothered coming in.
Well, I mean, she's not coming in next week, so, you know,
perhaps. Oh, okay, right, fair enough.
This is punishment.
And don't forget John Michael Howson.
Who made an unscheduled visit. Sally Matherick, the... Naturopath to the Stars will be back in a couple of weeks. But from us here at the Lonely Hearts Club on Radio National for another week, ep 2 of our 8 eps, we bid you adieu. And as we say here, may all your love be free of cost. Right now, it's Trevor Chappell.